Kes kes.
Ya kesip kimi. Were there any Kiddush? There are six keywords in Friday Night Kiddush. Tomorrow night, we're going to make the Friday Night Kiddush. And if we want to make the Friday Night Kiddush properly, we can become partners in creation and change things around. Switch things, change things. Change my week, change myself. Everything can be changed. That's what Kiddush is. So there are six keywords in Kiddush. Six keywords. The words are the same word. Shvi, three times, and Elokim, three times. Okay. Daki b'yavaychu yeshkim Elokim v'gimel Shvi. There's three Elokim and three Shvi. V'gimel Elokim is melmal mata. V'gimel Elokim starts from above and goes below. V'gimel Shvi im lemata lemala. The Shvi is from below to above. Yeah, well, three levels, we'll see. We'll see everything, Be'ez Hashem. Simen Shemer HaBrish V'Chesed. We'll see what that is in a second. Be'ez Hashem. Keter, let's see. Ba'icha Elokim Mayom HaShvi, the first one. So the first one is Vina. Ba'icha Elokim Mayom HaShvi. Hashem completed the seventh day. Is Vina. Malachto is Malchus. We'll see in a second, we'll see what the vote is. By Ishbos Per Mashvi, is a sod. By Baruch Elokim, is Gevura. Okay. Alright, let's see what this is. So we start the sixth day. Hashem completed the heavens and the earth and everything therein. Basically, the first words of the Kiddush are telling me that I can reach any level, anywhere. Hashem made everything, Hashem is accessible anywhere, and you can reach anywhere you want to reach. It's open now, everything's open. You can go where you want, you're free. Then, Baichal Elokim Bayom HaShvi'i Malachto She'os. Hashem completed on the seventh day his malacha which he made. So, Baichal Elokim is Bina. It's Bina. So fascinating. There's another system also. I don't know why he's missing it. Okay. Okay, usually we do things a little bit differently. So first, we're getting the Chabad. Usually we're getting the Chabad during the, that's usual, I don't know why it's not here. I don't understand why, how it could not be here, I don't know. Bina, he says. Oh, I guess we will go to Mukso, that's good. I'm gonna. We'll do this on Sunday, Be'ez Hashem. I'd like to. I'm very interested how it could be that the main thing seems to be missing was different other kavanos. I'm very, very fascinated. I don't understand. We'll check it. Okay. Thank you. Now, I guess we will do the Mukso, Be'ez Hashem.
So this is Kiddush?
This is Kiddush. Yes.
Okay.
Because I wanna work it out with. Now the first thing is like we saw, you say three times Vayichlulu in Kiddush, right in throughout the Friday night. I say Vayichlulu number one, I say in Shmone Esrei. Vayichlulu number two, I say after Shmone Esrei. Vayichlulu number three, I say Kiddush. So Kiddush is the highest Vayichlulu. During those times, for sure, we didn't see it here because he does the davening in the first part. We didn't do davening yet. But what are those three vayichlulus? The first one fixes action. I'm trying to imbue my actions with the light of Shabbos. That's the first one. The second one fixes speech. I want to pick up my speech through the light of Shabbos. That's the next one. That's why I have the ability now to give brachas. I give brachas to my children. Go, I have malachim with me. I have a lot of koach. I have a lot of power after that second time. The third time is my thoughts. Where my thoughts are, where am I going, where is my mind still holding? That is determined by the third Kiddush. And that's the time when we totally connect to Hashem. That's our, or at least we can if we want to. So that's the potential of the third one. So for sure, the third one is in the head for sure. But then the question is, which aspect? So let's see. So it says, the three Elokim and three Shvi. The three Elokim are from above to below. The three Shvi is from below to above. How? He says, Vayechal Elokim v'yom Shvi is Bina. Okay. There's two different ways, I guess, of learning this. I have no idea which one's the Shal Kavanos. Probably this one. But the Siddur Shabbos, which I like to use in Kiddush, has its own particular way, and the Hezabram is a different way. So we'll see both. Let's see what he says. So this is the first one. Let's just go with what he said. That's why it looks strange, because it does not seem to fit at all. I don't understand it exactly, but it's okay, that's the show. Okay. So the first Vayechulu, the first Vayechal Elokim Bayom HaShvi is Bina. Hashem completed on the seventh day. That's the aspect that's called Bina. He said, and then Bayom HaShvi is Yisod. Okay, it's going down to all eight spheres. That's what he's basically saying. All eight different aspects is going down to. And we'll see. It's totally. I happen to like. I'm used to this maybe, but I like this way better. I have to check the Shkutim, see what he says. It's some interesting. I'd be surprised if he says the same thing. We'll see. Right, fine. So the first one again is Bina. Number one. Tshuva has to influence Yisod. Understanding one thing for the other has to influence Bina, Yisod. Yisod is called foundation. You know, Yisod, when you talk about building a building, you talk about you need a foundation to the building, right? Without a foundation, the building can't stand. Everything depends on the foundation. Yisod is the same thing. Yisod is the foundation of everything. And Hashem made it that it's inextricably bound up with a person's, I guess we'd have to say, sexual nature. But the bottom line is Yisod is our ability to connect to Hashem. That's really what it is. That's why the Gemara tells us, and the Zohar says also, is when a person was, in the times of Chazal, times of our sages, people were in very bad places. They were having a hard time. In this area of purity, personal purity, on all sorts of levels. So you know what? We're just going to get rid of all this stuff. We don't want any of this. No, thank you. We will disengage. And they have the ability to do that. We don't. How they do that, I have no idea. When you have people who they're able to also bring back the dead, they can do this too. Like, what does that mean? And why didn't they if they could? I have no idea. You're asking the wrong person. I really don't know anything at all about these very, very sublime, deep ideas and concepts. Not simple. But bottom line is, you know, we'll just divest. What do I do this for? It's a pain in the neck. Goodbye, good riddance. So, what happened was, the next day, chickens did lay eggs. The Zohar says chicken did lay eggs, I think it's in the Zohar even, but it's certainly in the Mefarshim, it said eggs, Be'ah means prayer. So the person could not pray with his heart, because his heart was like, he became like, no color, no ups and downs, no zest, no enthusiasm, no, he just didn't have nothing. Just drag. That was what he was. So like, wait, this doesn't work so well. This doesn't work so well. This is a bad idea. We need this. This is part of living as a human being. You can't be about this. That's really what it comes down to. And maybe there are certain exceptions to the person or whatever happened or whatever he went through. But generally speaking, if humankind doesn't have this element, there's something missing in... We can't do our task here, basically. We need to have this. because we can't do a Teskil without it. That's really what it comes down to. So the first thing we have here, when we're talking about Kiddush, is we have Bina Haskil Mashpia, first of all, to the Yisod. That's really what it comes, that's really the foundation of everything. So you take Bina, which is, if I'm not mistaken, according to his construct, the highest element that you're able to touch here. It might be in the bringing the mochin in, whatever that means, but bottom line is, he said, what you're touching, what you're specifically dealing with and bringing in, the highest element is Bina. Bina hits your soul. Your soul has to get this, like this again, you know, Bina is this idea of connecting to a higher place. A person transcends nature, especially transcends his personal nature. Hashem put me here this way, I have to change that. And I can change that. If I want to change it, I can change it. So that's the first thing that Kiddush is about. Is sanctifying ourselves. I want to become holier. I want to become more connected to Hashem. I want to become more able to express who I really am. That's really what it comes down to. I want to express who I really am. Who I really am is the Neshama Tahorah. I'm a Neshama Tahorah, and I have a task here, and I have many tasks here. And I have to do them. So how do I do them? What do I do? So that I don't really know. Hashem has to show me how to do it. But the first thing is I have to become empowered by having the filled up and illuminated with the light of Bina. That's number one. That's the first thing he says. He said, that's Vayecha Elokim Vayom HaShvi. Fine. That's number one. He said, then you hit the next element. There's one extra thing here. There's one other element here. The malachto, the first malachto is not yet yisod. Before we go to yisod, we have to deal with malchus. Because malchus is dimyon. Malchus has to do with what I do with my imagination. That's the first thing. Number one, even before yisod. Yisod is the foundation of everything. But what I imagine and how I use my imagination and what I do with my imagination determines what I can do with the Bina, the aura of Bina, and all the other auras that I need to bring in. Fine. Oh, see, he does bring this. He brings this Mahalach also that we'll see afterward. It's a lot easier to hold the cup. But actually, yeah, it's fine. It doesn't matter. It's all one element, which is that when I have, when I'm hit with, I'm walking down the street, right? I had an interaction with someone or with people, I got a phone call, whatever it may be. And suddenly my imagination took me somewhere. So I have two basic choices. I could either just like experience it and get lost in it and like come down to earth at some point. Or I can pay attention and say, okay, why am I going to this place? What is my imagination telling me? What is the dimin saying to me? Because really, the way that we get communication from Hashem is our imagination. And sometimes it's just shtiyot. I mean, I know one guy, you know, he went to the field, and he came out with this conclusion, and I don't want to say he was wrong. I don't want to know if he's wrong or not. He's a very special guy. But he decided he wants to go see what?
He wants to what?
Divorce. His wife was uninterested. He said, I want to live an aesthetic lifestyle. I'll do every mitzvah I need to do, but I don't just hang out with you. I want to be a holy guy. I really do. And if you're not a holy guy, so then I understand that. And, you know, they live very nicely. It's just not what I want. I want to learn a lot of deeper stuff. I want to learn this, I want to learn this, I want to learn that. I have a particular, very great person who I have a connection to, and that's just me. So she's like, well, listen, we married. That wasn't you. He's like, you're right, it wasn't me, but it became me. So what am I supposed to do? Just like live a mundane lifestyle, that's not what I want. I want to be more in a different place. She's like, you know, I really love you. You're a great guy, but I don't want to live with someone who's like never going to be home. Even if you're always learning, it's really beautiful, but that's just not, that wasn't my plan. I have a daughter together, and they got divorced. And big rabbi spoke with this guy. I'm like, listen, you know, I don't know. Like, divorce doesn't sound like it's too clever. It doesn't sound like that's a good move. And this guy, he's on a level. I'm not going to say he didn't fall. It's several good years. He's not remarried. As far as I know, he didn't fall. I don't, you know, he hasn't stand to fall. He's learned a tremendous amount. He does a tremendous amount. He's really holding in a high place. So, can we know, did he make a mistake? Did he make a mistake? I don't want to say he made a mistake or he didn't make a mistake. All I can say is, most likely he messed up. Because usually you can't get anywhere if you don't manage to work it out with your wife. That's usually how it works. So, probably he messed up. they were living good together. I mean, I spoke, one of my big teachers was involved in this, and he was like, they're living well together, and the guy just like ups and leaves. I can't compromise on my spiritual principle. Like, let her like grow into it, relax. You know, Hashem wants you to marry. What's your deal? Like, he said he was very not happy with the whole. So sometimes you go to the field and you say, God's communicating to me. He's talking to me. I did my 6 hours. This is what he says. And that is not what he said. And he's not communicating with you. And you're way off. You know what you're talking about. Your desire, and your maybe pure desire, I don't know. I can't, again, I don't want to judge anyone. He's holding the places. He's not holding places. You know, people, he's a very funny person, very good person. He's really connected to a certain rug. He's really, he's holding. He's not a bad guy. He's a really good guy. But from our perspective, most likely, 99%, probably he messed up. And he thought he got a message, he didn't. So the first thing is getting the Bina and the Malchus together. The Malchus also means another, means humility, it means knowing that everything's from Hashem. And not, you know, the Malchus is like the ground. First, like the Rebbe says, everything you get, when you go over you in your life, all the difficulties, you're still only get good. You're just trying to focus on top of this, what does Hashem want from me? I'll try to learn my lesson and move forward, whatever way I can, I'm going to do my best, and that's all. That's what Sam Sofer says. Rashi says that Avraham Avinu, when he came back, he paid off his debt, his credit. He went back and paid off his credit. Right? So, Sam Sofer is an incredible thing. He says, we all extend credit to Hashem. We have kashas. God says, go to Israel. Right? Then what happens? Well, it didn't work out. Famine, he goes down to Egypt, he doesn't have a choice. What question should he have? The Shavuos Yitzchak says, yes. Should have, because it was a big Chilul Hashem. They said, this lowlife comes to Israel and starts talking about one God, and what happens? Oh, goodbye, everything falls to pieces. No rain. His fault. He's going to go down to Egypt. Well, they'll see whose fault is it. And what happened? Everything worked out, right? Because you talk to your little Geshkelah. No. He said, nothing worked out because it's all phony baloney. It's all excuse. Fine, very good. So what happens then? He wants to pay off himself, pay off his credit, comes back. And he's able to understand what happened, why he had to look down, and why this happened, why that happened, he gets it. And that's every person, that's all of us. We all have to have a basic idea of the aspect of Malchus in the right way. Like getting, like paying off, the, like paying back, like giving credit and paying back. And sometimes it only takes till a person leaves the world to really get it. Take time. It's not simple. It's not easy. It can be difficult. But that's the tikkun. That's what a person has to undergo in order to fix what has to be fixed. So the first thing really is being some malchus. That's the number one. To realize, to get imagination together, try to figure out what I need to do from my imagination, whatever I have, whatever it may be. What do I do? How do I do it? Figure it out. But on the other hand, to say, maybe I'm misreading, maybe talk to people, think of every great teacher you ever had says, this is a bad idea. Probably it's a bad idea. Like, probably you think you got it, your 6,000 bonus. I don't think so. No, maybe not. Maybe do another one. Yeah, it's not so simple. It's not so pushy. So that's the first thing. Then the next element, next one. Next element gets your soul receives. That's the aspect of foundation we spoke about, and by Baruch Elokim. Is so by Baruch is Chesed, Asher Bara is Lakim. Oh, very good. Fine, very good. So then this element of this is the statement here and there. So he says, when you say by Baruch Elokim is Yom HaShvi, you're basically sweetening every possible judgment. So, Vayvarach Elokim, Vayvarach is Chesed. Elokim is an aspect of Gvura. And Esyom Matei is also Chesed. You want to take the element of all the harshness, all the difficulties that I experienced throughout the whole week, and that I'm experiencing now. I want to take that, and I want to just pick it up and sweeten it. And it's especially, like we were saying before, and we spoke about this a lot, and he speaks about it a lot as well, the Kiddush Friday night is the aspect of speech. Speech. Everything has to do with speech. It's a very, very big part of Kiddush by day, by night. So Kiddush by night is speech. So we have to try to elevate our speech, try to imbue our Kiddush with the aura of Bina and all these different high levels that we spoke about.
So by speech, you mean that whatever we talk about shouldn't be things like headlines from the newspaper.
If possible.
We should be looking at headlines from the Torah.
That's one level, and for sure. There's another level, which is that, and again, I don't know if I'm holding here, maybe I have better days and worse days. Another level of where someone's not holding by speaking more necessarily. You have to know, that's what we spoke about with Nussin, interacting with people, especially Shabbos table. Anyway, I'm interacting with someone, I see someone, and he's on my Shabbos table. I see this guy, Torah, how much Torah can you speak already? Sometimes it's too much. There's no point. What's the point of giving too much? It doesn't help him. So I have to say, maybe he can't speak more than the meds. Maybe he's going to talk about the, I don't know what. But I have to have a yearning. I want to bring Hashem in here, and I want to bring him to Hashem. I have to start like inside, like we said, I can't do more, so inside, like wake him up. That at least in Shabbos table, we have to try to get to. And extends to a lot of different things. To a lot of things, and we can try. The Rebbe says, you know, each thing you hear is telling you something, and you're a Baruch Hashem. The only question is, what is it? You know, believe that, and try to find it, try to figure it out, try to see. But yeah, if possible, preferably try not to talk as much as possible. Talk Torah, talk good things, hear from other people. I know there are places that there are Shabbos tables, have everyone say something interesting, something, whatever you can possibly do, it's feasible. You know, of course, Chofetz Chaim, again, I told the story before, I think, that Chofetz Chaim, one time he came to an inn, no one knew who he was. There were a lot of people selling books. There were no bookstores like today. One way you made a panasa, you a few pennies, but you took someone else's book, and you sold the book. So he wasn't going around, he had this little casquette, this little fisherman's hat, I don't know, no one knew who he was. And he's selling books, there's like some books selling. So the innkeeper on Shabbos put him with these horse, these horsemen, these, I don't know what you call them, the drivers, whatever, the wagon drivers. And the whole Shabbos they're discussing horses. Motzei Shabbos, someone comes in from a different town, and he says, Shalom Aleichem, the big sage, the goyim, the hin, the hair, whatever. You know who he is? He's like, oh my gosh, I come with the horses. What I do? How can it be? So he said, I'm so sorry, I put you with the horses. He said, no, it's not a problem. No Lashon Hara. Horses is nice, great. You're talking to horses, it interests them. No Lashon Hara. Beautiful Shabbos. Excellent. So, you know, what the Chofetz Chaim was thinking about, I mean, he wasn't thinking about horses. But he was able to see the positive. He was able to see the positive. We don't have to make a person, if he can only talk about horses, we don't have to make him feel like, we have to make him feel like you can talk about Torah and also talk about horses. It's okay under the table. Okay, you'll put on a shirt. It's okay. A little bit. So we have to figure out what to do and how to do it. It's not always easy to know. Get the right balance. Okay, so that's more or less we work this out. And tomorrow, if we do this tomorrow or Sunday, because probably Thursday won't be here, like I said, so we'll see the other conflict is much, much simpler and easier to figure out. This is a little bit more complicated, at least from my perspective.
Sometimes you can't get. We can't assume what's going to motivate a person or what's going to make them happy at the Shabbos table. So I've always gone for the high end, never for the medium. Like I would never discuss the World Series unless I'm with my friends. But if I'm with people that, you know, this might be their first Shabbos or something, I'm going to say something that relates to the parsha. Mm-hmm. And ask them, for their opinion. Here's a parsha statement. I'd like to hear what you have to say about it.
Ah, beautiful.
Maybe you have to take a Shabbos.
What?
I find that if it's a first Shabbos, I rarely mention Parsha because most of the people don't even know what the Parsha is. Which in a way it's sad, you want to educate them, but you just want to like give them a good Gishmak Torah, something fun, something nice.
Yeah.
Talks to them. This is also important.
Good food.
Good food is the most important thing that we all know. Like they write the medicines about a Rav Avinu, we give them good food and
they kept coming.
Of course. Don't try this at home, though. Anyway. Actually, yeah, but yeah, that's what it says. Whatever that means. And why he did it, and what it means, and how it means the whole. It says that we got the Torah, maybe, and that's first. And the angel said, What do you mean? You can't take it from us. So Moshe said, what do you mean, first of all? What do you know? Okay, Mama, she like pushed them off from that. It's very interesting what that medrash means. And this is the whole Mahalach, what's going on here. I said, you don't even understand what it is. He's human. Huh?
Is there any answer to that?
There are a few answers. As a malach, it burnt up. It wasn't, he had no yisr. No Issa. Yeah, Malach, even in a physical form, they had no, there was no Issa for them to eat this, the Basta Chol. No problem whatsoever. The Chidah says maybe it wasn't really Basta, but actually, let's leave that alone. That's a more of a Chidish. Because he was not a Jewish person, he was an angel.
Besides that,
no, the angels were sent, so.
The
Avos. He didn't mix them for one another. They had the both.
Nobody says he ate both of them. Avon, what we learned was, Avon put give a choice. You can eat dairy, you can eat meat. Pick what you want.
Well, they had both, it seems like. It seems like they had both. It seems like they partook of both. That's the Midrash says, you ate both of Cholam.
There's a piece saying that he didn't eat both.
Could be. I don't know. This I don't know.
But who would choose the father? Would you like Ashkenaz?
No, I don't really know. I don't know that. I just know that Nussens is a very fat. He brings a Medrash. It's an incredible Medrash. The Medrash says that these angels,
one,
they were done in stone. They came to stone and they made an arpash. They made a very big mistake. They ate the corporal food, Nussens explains. So they got like really material for an angel, but material. So they came to stone and they said, "We are destroying this city. So let's get out of here, Lot." And Hashem said, "Oh, you are you? Well, you can stay in that material world until you start to learn humility." And it took them hundreds of years to go back. Each angel, Yeshua had an angel, Shimshon an angel, all these angels were left over from Avraham Avinu for hundreds of years. And Rashi said it was from one time eating. And that's the pshat in that Medrash, because he said, "You ain't blessed with chol, you guys don't even understand what it is to live in the material world. You can't fathom. They need the Torah, you don't need the Torah like we need the Torah." That's the object. Okay, so the first thing we're going to discuss, of course, is snow.